Brandon is coming next week. He's looking for support. Now, I had said to Rick, I would love to see more support, and it's up to you, and I'm just going to exhort you. Brandon plays a major part. He is on the night watch at IHOP, and they have been called since 1999, a lot of you know, intercession to pray for the nation, to pray for Israel, to pray for signs and wonders, to pray to see the glory. And it is, Bill Johnson said this. He said, Mike Bickle and Lou Engle have been probably the most important people in this era for what they're doing. Now, they're not the only ones that have started prayer ministries. Many, many churches and streams have, and they're all vital. But Brandon is from our midst, and he's out there. And I just want to make that plug. He is a missionary for intercession. He stands before the Lord at the night watch, and he intercedes. He intercedes for us. He intercedes for the nation. He intercedes for Israel. He intercedes for a move of God. And so I just want to encourage you that if you feel led by the Holy Spirit to support him, please do, okay? Just want to put that plug in. I think it's interesting that he's out there, and I just love it. The second thing I want to tell you is what I forgot to tell you, is that Kevin is with Joel today. Now, I don't know about you guys, but didn't you feel like Joel was a part of us, that he's been a part of us for a long time? He actually said the same thing. He said, I feel like I've been with you guys forever. I feel like I've known you guys. Well, Kevin is on one of his training sessions this weekend, and they've actually, and next weekend, and they saw a woman get delivered of a demon. And so, yeah, pretty cool. And so, of course, we have the healings that took place while they were here, while Joel was here. I also want to give a testimony that I was healed last year at James Maloney. My neck was healed. I went all summer long and through the winter painting upon painting and doing all kind of things, the things that would make my neck hurt, and nothing happened. I was great. Well, then in January, I was in major, major pain. I rolled over in bed and went into this knot, and I couldn't move my neck. And I say that to say this. A lot of times we look at little things like necks being healed. I'm going to tell you, when you suffer with neck and back problem, you are so happy that you got your neck healed. And I went, Lord, you know, what about this healing that I received? And I found out I still have it. I'm good. The problem was, as we put our bed in front of the window, and the window and the cold air was tightening my muscles and messing me up. And so once we took care of that problem, I'm good. I'm good to go. So, yeah, my neck is good. So God is healing, and he's moving. He has been moving from the time that the disciples met in the upper room. And he's been moving and moving and moving. But we're going to talk this morning about what we're looking for. And I want to encourage you. This Saturday, we're going to meet together after we go out on the street. And we're going to begin, for those that want to participate, a 21-day fast, okay? And we're praying for this move of God. We've talked to you before. I'm going to tell it all over again. Lou Engle had a dream. I think it was Christmas Day, wasn't it? Christmas Day. He had a dream, and in this dream was Bill Johnson, and the Lord told him to put his hand on his shoulder. And so it seemed like he didn't want to at first, but he did. And then he said, put the second hand on the shoulder. And he was to pray and partner with him, okay? And that then he saw Benny. Benny is an intercessor. And he saw this window. Benny was inside the window. And she was there, only it was intense intercession. And when he woke up, the Lord said, you have a small window of a mighty move of God in Azusa, back in Los Angeles, for this outpouring of the glory cloud and a move. So he got with Bill Johnson, and Bill Johnson has now canceled all of his classes and missionary things, and they are going to Los Angeles April 9th, and they are going to meet. They're going to do a call, and they're going to meet, and they are looking and expecting a great move of God again. Wow. Rick and I... Oh, and Rick's going to try to find a way to stream that. When it happens, we can be here. Yeah, on that Saturday night, April 9th. Hmm? All day. All day. Oh, yeah, there you go. So I said, Lord, how do we get our people stirred up, ready? And it's like... I want to see this move. We've been praying. We have had word upon word. This is going to be the greatest year, that the Spirit is going to move in a greater way. I think Carol Arnott also had a word and had a visitation from the Lord that said that the move of the Spirit is going to be greater than at the time of the Airport Vineyard. And so much came out of that time when Randy Clark went there and the outpouring of the Spirit came. There was Heidi Baker, who now in Africa, who could not hardly get a church started or an orphanage. And now I think, 1,800 orphanages, maybe more, and churches and people raised from the dead and people healed and sickness, you know, gone in the name of Jesus, so much. And it was because of the visitation that she had. It was because of what she encountered. I want to see that here. In Celineville, in Carrollton, in Minerva, in Salem, in Lisbon, in East Liverpool, Steubenville. I want to see that move. We have seen miracles. We've seen healings. I don't doubt, and I am so thankful, and I want to rejoice in every one of them. I don't want to take them for granted. But my desire is to see the glory and the glory cloud. And that is what was prophesied by William Seymour over 100 years ago in 1906, somewhere around that place. There was a prophetic word that said, what you see on Azusa Street, the glory cloud is going to come again in about 100 years. And what is going to take place is that glory cloud is going to come, only it's not going to be just in a little small place. It is going to be across the nation, the world. There's going to be that visitation of the glory, of Shekinah glory, and that everyone is going to be involved until the return of Jesus. Maria Woodworth Edder, or Mariah, whatever they want to call her, said this, prophesied the same thing, and so did Charles Durham. Within 100 years, there is going to be a visitation of the glory like it was in Azusa Street. How many here know the story of Azusa Street and have read the accounts? Some. Here's a book. This man by the name of Tommy Welchel was called by the Lord. In fact, William Branham looked at him and said, "You're the one." He was called to be a storykeeper. And the saints from Azusa Street that were only 11 or 12 or 15 or 17, that's how young they were when they were doing these miracles, and they were encountering this, he was to be the storykeeper, and he was not allowed to tell a lot of these things. The Lord came to him and said, "Be patient and obey." And every time he'd go to start to tell some of these stories, the Lord said no, and he couldn't tell it. And then back in 2006, he writes a book. Is that the first one? He writes this book, and it's called They Told Me Their Stories. We didn't know if there was other stories in here that wasn't in here. They're pretty much the same, only this is more detailed. So if you get a chance, get this book. We're going to pass ours around, let people read it. It's important. And like Rick said, I have read different things about revivals, and it just makes me feel like it's never going to happen here. There was something different when I read this book. I got an excitement, and so did Rick. We just went, this is going to happen. Yeah. This is going to happen. And so I'm going to go back a little bit, whet your appetite for what God did and what he's going to do and what he's doing in China. When the first book was written in 2006, they read this book in China, and they started seeing some Shekinah glory and miracles just pouring out all over different places. In fact, there was a school that brought the children in and began to read this book all the way through to get them prepared. Different places has said this. Now, last week we heard again that, what's his name? That's a weird name. He's from Africa. Reinhard Bonnke said that he had a dream and that God was going to set America on fire, and that he had plans for America, and he had plans for Africa. Now Africa is set on fire with the glory of God, and I believe in it for the United States. But this prophecy, I believe this prophecy. That's all you have to do. Believe this word and position yourself for this encounter. William Branham... Hopefully I'll get through this. William Branham was a black man who was blind in one eye. William Seymour, Branham. I don't know why I said that. William Seymour was a black man who was blind in one eye. And he lived in the time when blacks and whites were not allowed to be in the same church. And so there was a man by the name of Charles Perham, and he was in Texas, and he was teaching and had a school because he was teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the speaking of tongues. So William Seymour went there because he was hungry for the gifts of the Spirit, for more of the Lord. And he was not allowed to sit in the classroom because he was black. This I love. He didn't let that stop him. He would sit outside the door, and they'd leave the door a crack open for him to hear what Charles Durham was speaking. And he kind of went to a couple of other places, I think, but maybe not. But he was asked to go to Los Angeles, and he was asked to preach at a holiness, to come to be a pastor at this holiness church. It was a black church. And so when he went and he preached on tongues, and they just like, and they locked the doors. They barred the doors shut for that evening so that he could not come back in. And so there was a man by the name of Asbury who had a prayer meeting on Bonnie Bray Street. Okay? And so William was asked to go there to begin to preach. Now, let me back up again. I'm getting ahead of myself. There was a white man by the name of Frank Bartleman, okay? Now, this is why I'm saying, man, let us pray. Let's get into a position. Frank Bartleman, who had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, in 1904 began a prayer meeting all over Los Angeles, because Los Angeles, that was getting to be pretty bad. And so he set up prayer meetings all over for 2 years. These different prayer meetings met, looking for the move of God, looking for encounter from God. And so, hello. So these prayer meetings were set up. They were in place. And so back to William Seymour, he goes to Bonnie Bray Street, and there he begins to preach, and the Holy Spirit begins to fall, and people are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they begin to speak in tongues. Interesting enough, William Seymour doesn't receive until 3 days later. Isn't that interesting? I think it's interesting. So pretty soon it was getting, the glory was coming, and there were people gathering in the outside and on the street, and the glory of the Lord was hitting, and people that were walking down the street would get hit by the Holy Spirit, hit the ground, and start praying in tongues. And so the cops, the police came and said, look, you've either better get a building or stop, because the horses won't walk over the people, and we've got a traffic jam. This is a true account. And so blacks at that time, Mexicans, blacks, Chinese, you name it, they were not allowed on the street after dark. There was a law, the Jim Crow, I think is what it was called, law. And so the Lord speaks to William Seymour, because there's no place to meet, and they've got to get the people off of the street. And he said, Lord, I don't have any money. What are we to do? And he said, I want you to go to Pasadena, and I'll show you where to go. And it's like, I'm not allowed on the streets after dark. I can get picked up. And it's like, but the Lord said go. So he went. And he got on the bus or trolley or whatever it was, and the Lord said, get off here. It was a rich street, okay? And he walked up to the house the Lord told him to. And in this house was a woman by the name of Sister Carney. And she was 17. She was married back in those days. They got married at 14. And when they got, it was a prearranged marriage. Okay? So they're in there praying. She had gotten baptized in the Holy Spirit, went back to her Baptist church and got some other people baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they got kicked out. And so they were meeting and praying. And so it's late at night, and William Seymour knocks on the door, and they go up, and here's this big black man, and they ask what he wants, and he says, you're praying for revival, aren't you? And they said, yes, we are. And he said, I'm the man to preach it. And after he began to share what the Lord was doing, they took up an offering, because this was the rich side of town, and they had enough money to rent the mission house that was, I think, a feed place. And it was, prior to that, it was a Methodist church. Animals, all kind of junk was in it. So they rent this place on Azusa Street. And William Seymour had an apartment upstairs. Now, I'm telling you this. I want you to read the book, but I'm telling you this because I want to whet your appetite for what the Lord wants to do. William Seymour was upstairs, and he would be praying 7 hours a day. And at some point, the Shekinah glory began to fall. And they said it was a mist that would be a foot high, okay? And then William would come down morning, noon, and evening. He'd put a box, a towel, and then a box over his head. They didn't know why. He never did say, except that God told him. They didn't, in fact, they didn't know what he was doing under there, and they tried to get close, but they wouldn't touch the box. Actually, it was said that if you touched William, that electricity would surge through your body. Sister Connie almost passed out when she touched him. She just touched him, and it was just about knocked her back. Knocked other people back at different times. His wife couldn't sleep with him anymore because of the electricity that surged through him even when he slept. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. So anyways, revival breaks out, Shekinah glory falls. They said when when William Seymour would come down and when he would take the box off of his head, the Shekinah glory would fill the room. And they said miracles would just start taking place right and left. It was phenomenal what took place. Rows, William could just speak to a row of people that were in wheelchairs and they'd all get healed. The young kids, this was so cool. The young kids would play hide and seek. When the glory would rise and fill the room, they would go in the back room. These are kids 12 years old that are performing miracles right and left. And when the glory would fill the room, they'd go in the back and they would play hide and seek. They said when it was like a foot high, they would just lay down. And they said it was like pure oxygen that they breathed. They kept calling the fire department because what took place is when William would come down and begin to pray, there would be a fire that would go up out of the roof and a ball of fire that would come down and then a streak of fire from that ball of fire would shoot through the fire that was up in the roof and it would come down and then the greatest miracles that anyone saw would take place during that time. Wow. Wow. He would preach. He would allow different ones to stand up. He just wanted order. Sister Carney, who was kind of the ringleader of the young ones, would pray for different ones. And I was reading some of the ones, and I thought, I got to remember these, and my brain is going trying to think of which one Sister Carney did and which one the other ones did. So I'm not sure. I just know this. Sister Carney had a rule. You didn't pray for somebody in a wheelchair unless you pulled the flaps up because they were going to get healed. And I'm pretty sure it was her that a woman came in holding a rag to her head and it was bleeding. And she said, "What happened? What's wrong?" And the woman removed the rag and an ear was missing. And she said, "My husband was stepping out on me, having an affair, and I caught him." And she said, "I grabbed a hold of the woman and we started to tangle. And she bit my ear off." Interesting. And so Sister Carney began to pray. She put the rag back down and began to pray. When she lifted up the rag, she began to watch an ear form on the side of her head. There was another man that came in. They said his face, his jaw was like down here on his chest. It was deformed. One eye went up, one eye went down. He couldn't walk. He just kind of, he was born deformed. And they began to pray for him. And they said the most handsomest man came forth. There was another person that came in and she had a tumor on the side of her head. It was malignant and she was going to die. And so she walks down the street and she's holding on to one baby and the other two are walking with her and she's holding the tumor up because it's so heavy on her face, half the size of a basketball. And she came in and she wanted healing. And the guy, I think it was one of the little boys, said, do you want to be healed? And she rolled her eyes and said, like, that's why I'm here. I wouldn't have walked all this way if I didn't want it. And he began to pray, and the tumor totally disappeared. Totally disappeared. Said that when William would begin to pray, when he would begin to pray, and there would be these older people with arthritis and couldn't hardly walk, and all at once he'd say, this row is going to be healed in the name of Jesus. And all at once you'd hear bones cracking, and their hands would go straight and their legs would go straight, and they were totally healed. There was a man who had a car that's on a train track. His leg was cut off, and he had a wooden leg, and that leg got gangrene in it. And so he came, and Seymour began to pray for him, okay? And the wooden leg was there, and it was really irritating the sore leg because it wasn't healing. It had gangrene in it. And they took the wooden leg off. And he began to pray for him, and they saw the leg. Well, he had pants on, actually. And all at once, they saw movement in the pants, and all at once, a foot popped out. There was another man who had his shoulder completely ripped off in a job. He had children. They didn't have compensation. They didn't have all the stuff that we have if you get sick. And so he learned to work with one hand, but he had to take a lower pay. And so he came in, and William asked if he wanted healed and said, will you tithe if I heal you, if you get a better paying job? Because he needed to support his family. And the man's like, yeah, you know. And William said, I'm joking you. You do it. That's between you and God, okay? And he joked around. And pretty soon they watched. There was a hole. They said it was just gross. These young boys that's telling Tommy Welchel the story. They said there was a hole here, and all at once they saw the bones begin to form. And you would see the bone start to come out and flesh follow it. And the bone flesh to the point where the fingers came on and there was fingernails. Is it wetting your appetite? Unbelievable. I was praying, this just kills me. I was praying for a woman who, at Thursday, and she's older, and she was kind of walking like this, and I started praying for her. I said, let me pray for you. She said, I have to have surgery, back surgery. She wasn't healed. And I went, Father, we need to see this in greater amounts. People need set free. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. This one sister, I think her name was Lucille. Now we're talking about little kids here. We're talking about a 12-year-old and a 15-year-old and young people. And Lucille had a thing for... disfiguring and tumors. To where, I think it was her, she carried around a dustpan and cloths. Because if you know, some of the warts and the stuff that gets on, she'd just go up and say, that's a mess. You need that healed. And she'd just start praying, and these growths would just drop off onto the floor, and she'd sweep them up, throw them away. There was another one that loved to pray for teeth. And so there'd be people with, you know, of course, in that day there was no dentist, hardly at all, and no money. And so people would come in with rotten teeth, and she would just begin one at a time. She'd stick her finger and on the gum so that the tooth would pop up. Because she thought it was fun, okay? They said, why don't you just pray for the whole mouth to come in? She said, that's between me and God, and I like doing it. And she would just continue to do it. She thought it was a blast. There was another man that Seymour prayed for that had cancer in his mouth because he smoked, had a cigar in his mouth all the time. And his gum had rotted away in his mouth, part of his face had rotted away. And he just began to pray, and pretty soon his gums formed and the teeth formed and his lips formed and he was completely healed. Completely healed. Spellbound, doesn't it? I read the book and thought, I don't want to quit hearing these stories. I want to hear more and more and more. Doesn't it put you in a place that you feel the atmosphere of heaven just as I'm talking? It causes that atmosphere of heaven just like I'm talking. The glory realm. The Shekinah glory. We've been prophesied over that the Lord was going to have fire. Just the doors were going to flow with fire and power. Tommy Welchel almost died, the man that wrote the book. He had written the first one in 2006. In 2010, he has this major heart attack. And Billy Brim, some of you guys know Billy Brim, and a group of them started praying for him. They felt that he wasn't done yet. And so he was taken to the hospital, was out for 2 weeks. And when he came to, the doctor said, total miracle. Total miracle. He should have been dead. Both the arteries going in and the arteries coming out, they were just blown or whatever. And he was saved. And so he writes this second book. And even he had said this. He said, once Azusa Street took place, it lasted 3.5 years, same amount of time that Jesus' ministry lasted, actually. And out of that, the Pentecostal movement, the Assemblies of God, was created. And there's been healings ever since going on. John G. Lake was told to go there to get around William Seymour. And so he did, and he became a missionary in Africa. Actually, they believe he's the one that stopped the bubonic plague. And then when he came home, he started healing rooms in Spokane, Washington, and the hospitals were completely shut down because people came there instead and they were healed. They came more than once. If they did get healed the first time, they'd come back. They just kept coming. Amazing. The saints, the Azusa Street saints congregated. Read the book. I don't have time to go into all the detail, but they congregated in a place called Pisgah. And it was named after the mountain of Moses. And they met and they told these stories. And in telling these stories, that's all right. And telling the stories, they didn't lose them until Tommy came along. But in the meantime, they healed the sick. They continued to lead people to the Lord. And revival spread all over. I believe, as well as others, that we're living in the last days. Of course, we've been living in the last days since Jesus died, but living in the last of the last days. And with that, the Bible says grace increases as sin increases. And there is an increase on what God wants to do. There is a desire. I prophesied several weeks ago. I just saw it. The Lord said, by the way, I want to do this more than you want me to do it. Just know that. So out of this place of God wanting to do this, we are going to meet and we're going to pray. And we're believing that as they meet in Los Angeles again, that God is going to do a great move. And I'm believing for Shekinah glory. I want to see people saved, healed, baptized in the Holy Spirit, delivered, holy, pure. We want to be like Jesus. We want to do what he's doing. And we want to bring the love of God and his character to this place. I believe that God wants us to do it. I believe that we have stayed and he has kept us. He's kept me. I know many times I wanted to quit, but he's kept me and he's kept you for such a time as this. Amen? Yep. Amen. So, did I wet your whistle? Good, good. Now join me. We're going to pray. Let's stand. Get the book, read it, reread it. Before we're done, I want to read that, Lord, I want to read this scripture. Acts. Bill, I was going to share this one. I feel it's important to share it. There was a man that walked in and his guts was hanging out. Probably a hernia that broke open. I don't know. But his insides began to come out and they had a rag over it trying to hold it in. You can imagine how bad that would be. And so this young boy, I think it might have been Fox, I think he was a young kid, maybe C.W. Ward, who was also a young kid, walked over, laid hands on him, and began to pray, and the stomach totally came together. The skin came over, and he was totally healed. Just want you to know that. Anyways, in Acts 2, here's what the word says. It says, the apostles were in one accord and were continually devoting themselves to prayer along with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and with their brothers. And they were told to stay in the upper room until the Lord baptized them with power. Now listen, I'm aware that we have been baptized, Holy Spirit lives within us, Christ within us is the hope of glory. But there is a greater move when the Shekinah glory comes and the Holy Spirit rests in power on you. And so I do know that Jesus lives within me. I do know that I can speak the word and people can be healed. I do know, but there's a greater anointing and a greater power that we're contending for. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterances. William Seymour said, prophesied, so did Mariah Woodworth, that there would be such a move and the glory cloud would come. Let's raise our hands before the Lord. Father, we just long for this move. We humble ourselves, Lord. We know that you're the one that heals. We know that you're the one with power, Lord. We know you want us to partner with us, and it is our job to pray. It is our job to speak the word and to release. But Lord, you are the healer. You are the miracle worker. You are the one. And Lord, but greater than that, I want your presence. I long for your presence in this place, Lord. I long for your presence. The atmosphere of heaven, I long for that atmosphere, Lord. And so, Lord, we just give ourselves to you. We give ourselves to you, Lord. And as William Seymour, who did not stop because a man told him that he was black and he couldn't be allowed to come in, he said, I don't care. I want Jesus. I want him. I want the power of his spirit. I want him. So, Lord, that's what we cry out. We want you. We want you. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.